Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, you can hear our program live weekday morning, 6 till 8 Central Time. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online. Our web address, of course, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
Well, welcome to it. It's a beautiful day, hopefully, where you are at, wherever you might be listening to us here on the Faith Radio Network. How do you like this? A system of beautiful weather moving through the upper Midwestern states. And welcome to our program. It's now 6:04 Central Time. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Honored to be with you weekday morning, 6 till 8, as we seek to connect faith to life. And we're so glad you're here. Coming up just about half an hour from now, I am very excited to be able to say we'll be speaking with Pastor Greg Laurie. Pastor Greg Laurie, prolific author and teacher, and of course his program A New Beginning is broadcast here on the Faith Radio Network every weekday. Actually, we have a weekend version of that program as well, but he'll be joining us to talk about a big event that's literally just a few days away, coming up on October 5th. It's called Harvest America. Harvest America. This is said to be probably one of the most impactful and most prolific and most far-reaching evangelistic efforts in the United States of America, Christian evangelistic efforts, one of the greatest ever. I was we did some preliminary discussion with Pastor Greg Laurie just recently, and I was reminded that back in the, I want to say about 1996, something like that, mid-1990s, Reverend Billy Graham, who was much healthier, much younger back then, weren't we all? And Reverend Billy Graham put together a global telecast with a very new, recently privatized, and I would say very infantile internet, which the internet didn't even do so well with video back in the mid-1990s, did have some audio running on it at that point. But back in the 1990s, there was a much-trumpeted telecast of a Billy Graham revival service and evangelistic effort. And a lot of people were saying at that time, almost 20 years ago, my goodness, the world has never seen anything quite like this before. Well, fast forward 19 years, 20 years or so, and what will transpire on October 5th across the United States of America, emanating from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, involving broadcast television, broadcast radio, mobile telephone transmission, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're talking live video feed. We're talking about on-demand video feed. We're talking about downloadable video feed. I mean, this is just something that technology has enabled that never could have happened before. So anyway, Pastor Greg Laurie joining us to talk about Harvest America. If you've listened to his sermons, his homilies, if you will, and his presentations on his program, A New Beginning, if you listen at all over the last 6 months, there seems to be a real urgency in his whole, in his heart, in his soul, as it pertains to the United States of America in particular. We've got problems in this country. We're desperately in need for a revival, and he's not afraid to say as much. So anyway, Pastor Greg Laurie joining us coming up at about 6:35 this morning. Also, we're pleased to announce that this is going to be a big weekend, and we've got a great week ahead in terms of the Christian single adults movement in America. Our great friend from Focus on the Family Single Adult Outreach, Lisa Anderson, will join us later in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about the latest with the single adults movement in the Christian community across the United States of America. So all of this and more coming up here on the Friday edition of our program. Now, before we take a break, we customarily go to a quick break here for our local affiliate radio stations to offer up some local content-specific information and those kinds of things. Before we do that, I need to tell you something. I need to issue a little bit of a warning. And I mean this very seriously and very sincerely. There is some really, really ugly news that I'm going to have to convey to you. And I'm going to try to do this as artfully, I guess, and as tactfully as possible. but it involves the slaughter and the ongoing murderous behavior against Christians in the Middle East in particular, but it's now spreading to other parts of the world, vis-a-vis the Islamic State militant group. We do ourselves and everybody else an injustice if we call it a terrorist group. It's way bigger than that. It's a quasi-nation, a quasi-military all unto its own, this IS, or Islamic State, that is emerging all over the world. And Islamic State, it's oftentimes referred to as an acronym, ISIS, which stands for Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. President Obama uses the acronym ISIL, calls it ISIL. It's very confusing. I wish everybody would just get on the same page and call it Islamic State, because it is not geographically specific, not at this point. But we have some very devastating news, and I would just say it this way. If you tend to be kind of squeamish, if you tend to be, shall we say, weak in the stomach, and by all means, if there are young children in our midst with you that just simply should not hear some real specific things about martyrdom, please safeguard those young ears, and please check back here in maybe about 15 minutes. But in about 60 seconds, when we return, I have some things that you need to know about. You and I both need to be praying about them. We'll do that next here on the Faith Radio Network. It's now 6:09. I'm Austin Hill. Glad you're with us.
News you can use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
Good morning. It's now 6:11. This is the Faith Radio Network. And I am Austin Hill, honored to be with you weekday morning 6 till 8 as we seek to connect faith to life, as we try to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful. I, having issued, I guess, the disclaimer, the warning that I offered up just a few moments ago, I need to be informative for you. I need to pose a challenge to you. This is very, very difficult. I have to tell you that I spent considerable time talking with our vice president and general manager here at Faith Radio Network, Dick Whitworth, before discussing this with you here this morning. Internally, we've been passing around emails here at Faith Radio Network and pondering, okay, what does this mean? How do we discern fact from fiction? How do we get to the truth of the matter? But let me just start with this blanket analysis here. The world is rapidly becoming all the more of a brutal place, in particular for Christians. And I noted at the beginning of this week on Monday that just last weekend, one Eric Metaxas from the Breakpoints program, Eric Metaxas was speaking at a conference somewhere here in the United States among Christians. And he actually, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said in essence, you know what, American Christians are complicit with evil in much the same way that Christians in Germany were complicit with the evil of Adolf Hitler, if we sit back and remain ambivalent, don't let our voices be heard, don't weigh in on this issue of the rise of the Islamic State. And those are some pretty strong words. And Eric Metaxas, of course, is involved with a very prominent, very prestigious, I would say, nonprofit organization, the Chuck Colson Center, founded by the esteemed late, great Chuck Colson and whatnot. So Eric Metaxas does not make those kinds of statements without a lot of discernment, and he doesn't do that flippantly. But there are a series of emails that have been passed around, and I've gotten them from now a few different sources. And they have to do with the plight of Christians, in particular in regions of Iraq. Now, Iraq, of course, was a country that our U.S. military invaded some 12 years ago. You know the backstory of Iraq, and I know I have made reference to the taking over, the assault on Iraq, and the murder, heinous crimes committed against Christians in Iraq. And there have been times, not many, but there have been times when I've spoken about U.S. military presence in the Middle East and Iraq, and there have been at times individuals who've called in, not on air here on our program, but they've said, you know, would you please ask Austin, tell him to stop talking about Iraq. This is not our war. We don't need to worry about it. We need to take care of things at home here in the U.S. We want troops out of there. Just be done with it. We kind of tried that a little bit sort of over the last couple of years. And let me start with this. This is an audio piece from a video report from CNN Television. And the beginning, I found this on CNN's website, by the way. They reported very extensively at some of the latest crimes against Christians. They called them out and called them Christians, actually, last night on CNN. But this was from only a few days ago. And this video can be found on CNN.com. And they actually have their own disclaimer at the front end of the video. And it just says something to the effect of, warning, this video contains contents that some people find very disturbing. And again, I issued my own warning here a few moments ago. Notice what's being said. You hear a news anchor talking back and forth with an expert policy analyst from a UN group, I believe it is. But notice what they're describing about those who disagree. This is in Iraq now. I'm sorry, actually, this piece comes from the country of Syria in a small town called Raqqa, which is thought to be the epicenter of this murderous group called the Islamic State. Notice what they say about those who disagree, those who don't convert. Roll the audio, please.
This Syrian city is the center of ISIS's power. According to accounts of people inside Raqqa, ISIS terrorizes them every day. This is what residents routinely see, crucifixions of non-believers, the severed heads of ISIS enemies displayed on poles.
Are scenes like this and public crucifixions still commonplace in Raqqa?
Yes, they are. Unfortunately, the number of crucifixions have gone up as well as decapitations, and they're for anyone who opposes the Islamic State.
Anybody who, and to take it a step further, to fill in the blanks here, anybody who will not renounce their Christian faith is included in that. Let me read to you. This is an email message, and all the facts and details here are not completely verifiable, but this has been passed around across the Christian community, across the world, I'm sure, but certainly here in the U.S. This is from a missionary group that seeks to keep itself, they don't want to identify themselves, okay? But here it is. This is describing a small town in Iraq called Kirguch, where ISIS has moved in, or the Islamic State has moved in. Kirguch has long believed to be the kind of the epicenter of Christians in the country of Iraq, the Christian capital, some people refer to it as, but no more. Here's a description from a Christian missionary on the ground in Kirguch. ISIS has taken over our town. ISIS is systematically going house to house, visiting all the homes of Christians, and asking children in the homes to denounce Jesus. So far as we can tell, no child has denounced Jesus. As a result, every child who has refused to denounce Jesus has been killed. The parents are not killed, however. The United Nations has now withdrawn all their operations, and the Christian missionaries are standing there on their own. The Christian missionaries say they are determined to stick it out for the sake of the families, even if it means their own deaths. They are nonetheless very afraid. They have no idea how to even begin ministering to the local families who have seen their children murdered. Yet, missionaries say they know God has called them to this place for some reason to be His voice and His hands at such a time as this. Even so, the Christian missionaries in Kirguch are begging for prayers, for courage to live out their vocation in such dire circumstances. That's been going around for several days. I received this, and I won't bring in the specific mission organization, but it's a very respectable nonprofit international relief mission headquartered here in the United States. Had this forwarded to me late yesterday afternoon. Dear friends, just a few minutes ago, we received text messages indicating that the city of Kirguch has fallen to the Islamic State. It fell, and now the Islamic State are systematically killing individual children. This is a city where we have been smuggling food into. The Islamic State has pushed back, and within a few miles of where our team is working. Thousands more have fled this city. The United Nations has evacuated its emergency relief staff. The Christian missionaries are now on their own. May I plead with you, do not ignore this email. Do not forward it before you pray through it. And I will tell you, that's all that I'm going to read here, but I will tell you that the descriptions of the ways in which these children are being killed, without being inappropriately graphic here on the radio, they match the ways in which we have seen Western journalists killed over the past several weeks, if you get where I'm going with that. My friends, we cannot sit idly by. We can debate all we want whether or not the United States ever should have invaded the country of Iraq and tried to install a representative government there, which we did, and that existed for a while. But this is what happens when the forces for good in our world pull back and sit on the sidelines and refuse to engage. You have a voice in this. So do I. If you're a U.S. citizen, we have a voice in this. And we can actually shape our nation's policy, and we can call for our country to engage in even more powerful ways to try to save some lives. But I wanted you to know this. You need to know this. Please be in prayer. Pastor Greg Laurie will be with us in about 15 minutes from now to talk about revival in America. We need the saving of lives, like in an immediate urgent sense, in Iraq and in Syria, right here, right now. It's 619. This is Faith Radio. I'm Austin Hill. I'm glad you're here. It's now 6:23. This is the Faith Radio Network. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your supports of what we do. We are a fully listener-supported ministry organization. Can't do it without you. Join us at myfaithradio.com. You can come on board anytime and participate and partner with us. We are grateful for that. Join us at myfaithradio.com. By the way, it also bears repeating. We have talked a lot about this over the last several weeks on some level. Today marks a day set aside for a global prayer vigil on behalf of one Pastor Saeed Abedini, Christian pastor with the Calvary Chapel Church Movement. He's from Boise, Idaho, originally born in the country of Iran, but has been a U.S. citizen for about 12 years now. Pastor on pastoral staff at a church in Boise, Idaho, Calvary Chapel there. And now today marks the second year, 2 years in a row, that he's been held captive in a very brutal prison in the country of Iran. He's actually been held against his wishes, and I would say illegally, in the country of Iran for about 2 years and 3 months, so almost 30 months total. But as of this day, he was officially taken into custody on this day 2 years ago. And then in January of 2013, he was sentenced to an eight-year prison term. Anyway, there are prayers going on all over the world today on his behalf and on behalf of oppressed Christians worldwide. Now, coming up at right after the top of the hour newscast and such into the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to meet a gentleman who is an elder at the church where Pastor Saeed Abedini served up until a couple of years ago, Calvary Chapel in Boise, Idaho. A gentleman who's on the elder board there at that local church. He knows the Abedini family very well, and we'll get sort of an inside look at what this horrific situation has meant for that church, that local faith community, and the family that is the Abedini family. We'll talk about that. But again, I want to drive the point home, folks. This is a very dangerous world that we lived in, and it's getting worse moment by moment. Even just since I began hosting this program, we didn't know what the Islamic State was, or ISIS, or ISIL. Those were not even a part of the American vernacular back in June of this year, or early July, for that matter. And we have a role to play in this, not only with our faithfulness in terms of prayer support and financial support for ministries who are trying to evangelize worldwide, but I'm here to tell you we cannot be ambivalent and sit on our hands with our nation's policies, with our nation's governmental policies. Let me be very specific. Eric Metaxas and the point he made over the weekend speaking at a Christian conference when he said American Christians who are complacent and ambivalent about what our military is doing, what our foreign policy is doing, about the plight, the murderous suffering of children and adults alike in other parts of the world. We are complicit with evil the way Christians in Germany were during the rise of Adolf Hitler. please take that to heart. Those are very, very strong words. And the evil that was the Third Reich of Germany didn't just happen. That was an elective representational government. And churches and Christians in Germany were passive, detached, ignoring it, paying no attention. Are you paying attention to what your government is doing if you're a U.S. citizen? We all need to be more vigilant about this. Please pray. Please get in touch. It's 626. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. When we come back, let's check in with Neil Stephen. Find out what's coming up on his program today, Connecting Faith. We'll tell you about it coming up next. Don't go away. This is the Faith Radio Network. Connecting Faith airs weekdays at 12 noon Central Time. Yesterday, host Neil Stephen spoke with author and director of the Discovery Institute, Stephen Meyer. They talked about Meyer's latest book, Darwin's Doubts. Let's listen in.
You find many leading evolutionary theorists themselves acknowledging, even lamenting, that natural selection and random mutation just don't seem to have the creative power that has long been attributed to them. And so evolutionary biologists are groping, searching for some additional mechanism, some new mechanisms that will have the capacity to build fundamentally new forms of animal life. And they really aren't coming up with a whole lot that is, I think, very promising. I critique these new theories in my new book. The big problem for both old and new theories of evolution is the problem of the origin of the information, the digital code stored in the DNA molecule that we now know is necessary to build any form of life, in particular any form of complex animal life. We now know we need reams and reams of genetic information, and relying on mutations to generate that is kind of a losing proposition, because mutations are essentially copying errors in pre-existing genetic text. And if you think about the software world, we know that if you start randomly changing the zeros and ones in a section of software or in a computer program, you're going to degrade the information that's there and degrade the function of that information. So relying on mutation to generate new information doesn't seem to be a very viable approach in our modern information age. And yet what we know in biology is that biology is run by information technology. So we need some kind of new causal mechanism, and the evolutionary biologists, I don't think, really have come up with anything that is explaining that crucial component, that crucial element in the story of the history of life. Where did all the information come from? Not by mutation and natural selection.
Would you say that sort of the origin of information, as our understanding has increased in the area of DNA and those kind of research, has that been as big a sort of blockbuster finding, if you will, for intelligent design as anything that's come along in the last
century? Well, I think
century?
It's a blockbuster finding. It's a stop press moment in the history of biology. When Watson and Crick realized that DNA has a structure that allows it to store digital information, and then Crick a few years later comes up with something he calls the sequence hypothesis, in which he realizes that there are these four chemicals that run down the spine of the DNA molecule, and they are literally functioning like alphabetic characters in a written language or digital characters, the zeros and ones in a section of machine code or software. It's the arrangement of these chemicals that conveys information that directs the construction of all the important cellular components, in particular the proteins that make it possible for cells to stay alive. So you've got information running the show inside life. That was a mind-blowing discovery, and it has created a problem for all theories of evolution.
Stephen Meyer, author of the book Darwin's Doubts, being interviewed by Neil Stephen on the Connecting Faith program. On today's episode, host Joe Rathmanner welcomes parenting expert Dr. Kevin Lehman as they talk about his book, Have a Happy Family by Friday. That's today, 12 noon, Connecting Faith with Joe Rathmanner here on the Faith Radio Network. It's now 6:31. Good morning. I'm Austin Hill. SRN News is on the way next. Hello, my name is God, the one true King. 6:36. Good morning. It's Friday, and I'm Austin Hill. It's been 25 years since one Pastor Greg Laurie first conducted what has become known as the Harvest Crusades, large stadium-sized evangelistic events where he delivers a gospel message. And over the years, millions of people have come forward at those events and accepted Christ as their Savior. Pastor Greg Laurie, a prolific author and Bible teacher and speaker, is actually gearing up for a large event he'll be telling us about called Harvest America. We'll get to that in just a moment. Joining us on our guest line right now, pastor, author, and teacher, Greg Laurie. Pastor Greg, welcome to the program.
Austin, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. Great to hear your voice. You're one of those prolific voices from the Christian community that have kind of always been with me in my adult life. I'm a native of Southern California, as you are. In fact, I think I was at the first Harvest Crusade event, actually, in 1990.
Wow.
But it's been 25 years. What has this quarter century of experience taught you as you've conducted these large-scale events in multiple places all over the world?
Well, I think, Austin, what it's taught me is, you know, culture changes, the time changes, but the gospel never changes and the impact of it never changes. You know, we've changed quite a bit in 25 years. A lot of new media has come our way. I mean, the Internet was just coming into being back then, and of course there was no such thing as social media, but today we can communicate instantaneously with people around the world. So, you know, we're just appreciative of the fact that when we're holding an event in a stadium, we can reach people internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And since we started in 1990 there in Southern California, we've been all around the country holding these events and abroad, in New Zealand and Australia. We've been able to reach 5 million people in live attendance, but the best thing of all is we've seen almost 500,000 people make a profession of faith to follow Christ. Now, we don't call them converts because time will tell if they're converts,
mm-hmm.
but I'll tell you, many of them are. And we've seen many go into ministry, many go into the mission field, and then just many just walking with Christ and raising their families as Christians and serving the Lord. So this is a great joy. As John the Apostle said, I have no greater joy to know than to know that my children walk in truth. And so we're thrilled with what God has done.
Pastor Greg Laurie, he's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. Now, the Harvest Crusades event, that's one thing, Pastor Greg. You're gearing up for an event to transpire just days from now, actually. October 5th is the next scheduled one, as I understand it. Harvest America. Now, that's going to emanate from Dallas, Texas, but this is a live nationwide event streamed to thousands of host locations all across the country. Tell us what's going on.
That's right. This event can happen wherever you are. Harvest America, to simplify it, could be summed up this way. It's sort of like the Super Bowl of evangelism. Let me explain. On Super Bowl Sunday, many Americans around the country watch the game. But now we've turned it into sort of a party, and we'll get together ahead of time, and we'll have food, and invite friends over, have family over, and so forth. A lot of people don't even watch the game, but it's become an event we all participate in. Well, think of this as sort of a Super Bowl of evangelism. Instead of a football game, we have an evangelistic event. And by the way, from the beginning of this event to the end of it, it is geared to a non-believer. You know, a lot of times you may think, I'd like to take my non-believing friend to church, but I don't know if this is the best time. The pastor is doing that new series on tithing or something like that.
Right.
You know, and the job of a pastor, and I'm a pastor, by the way, is to teach the Word of God. And so it's not always going to be overtly evangelistic. But this event is. And so it's designed from beginning to end for a person who's skeptical, who's full of doubt, maybe as an atheist, but just a person who doesn't believe yet. And I bring the gospel in an understandable way. I break it down. I don't speak over their head. I don't use religious verbiage they would not understand. But it's a very biblical message. I try to keep it light when I can, with humor woven in. But I'm very serious about the primary thing I'm wanting to say. And then I call people to Christ. And so if you're having this event in your church, when people are walking forward there at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, they'd be walking forward in your church or standing up in a movie theater or standing up in your front room because you showed it on your TV set. The best way to kind of get this down to a level you can really understand is go to our website, harvestamerica.com. We have a video that explains it, and all the information you'll need is right there, harvestamerica.com.
HarvestAmerica.com. Now, and I'm actually in our studios here, Pastor Greg. I'm looking at HarvestAmerica.com. It does note that a lot of churches, theaters, and living rooms are on board with Harvest America. This is, sounds like we can receive this personally.
It is. I mean, you could even break it down one-on-one. Like, you could send a link, for instance, via text or email to a friend and say, hey, go watch this thing live. Figure out what time it is in your time zone. It's 6 o'clock Central Time. So, you know, depending on where you are, it might be a little bit later or a little bit earlier. So you say, watch this link at this time. You could post it on your Facebook page. You could tweet it. You could put it on Instagram. But, you know, just get it out to people that you know. And then the cool thing is, even after the event is over, it's archived, which means you can watch it on demand. So if you can't be in a given place when the event is happening live, we leave it posted there for you to watch at a later date. It'll also be live on God TV, which is seen on many networks and satellite dishes and so forth around the country. So you could check them for local listing, but for their local listing, but it will be live on God TV as well.
Pastor Greg Laurie, host of the New Beginning radio broadcast, which you hear on the Faith Radio Network. He's on our guest line. We'll continue with Pastor Greg Laurie in just a moment. Stay with us. I'm Austin Hill. This is Faith Radio. America. It's a huge outreach event, and it's being spoken, it's being presented by prolific Bible teacher and pastor, Pastor Greg Laurie. It happens October 5th. It emanates from Dallas, Texas. It'll be web streamed. It'll be broadcast. It'll be archived. You can't miss this. HarvestAmerica.com is the place to go for all the info. Pastor Greg Laurie is on the guest line with us here on Faith Radio. Pastor Greg, a moment ago you were mentioning over the course of 25 years of the Harvest Crusade events, you were mentioning how culture has changed. And certainly some amazing global events have occurred over the course of this last quarter century. You've seen America and the free world looking like it's on the upswing. You've seen it in decline. You've seen things all over the road. One thing I've observed about some of your recent episodes of a New Beginning broadcast, it just seems like you're expressing a greater sense of urgency to people today. Am I perceiving that correctly? And if so, tell us about the urgency.
Yeah, I think you are. You know, it seems to me that there are two things we really need in America. Number one, we need a spiritual awakening. You know, we need to get back to the roots of this country. You know, our founding fathers, they weren't all necessarily overt Christians, though many of them were. But even those that were not Christians, they certainly had a respect for God's word, a respect for Jesus Christ. And so our country really was built on biblical principles, and we've got so far from that. And we need a spiritual awakening, because our culture is going downhill rapidly. And of course, right now we're in war. You know, we're in this conflict with ISIS, who want to destroy us, and we're dealing with all of these threats from around the world, and then we have our own problems at home. And, you know, bottom line, America needs God. We need to turn back to God. And the second thing I think that the church needs to do is we need to just be preaching the gospel. Because, you know, if you can get people right with God, other things will be sorted out. I mean, we talk about the breakdown of the family, which is at the foundation of pretty much every social ill we're facing in America today. I mean, you want to talk about young people getting on drugs. You want to talk about people incarcerated, people in crime, girls getting pregnant out of wedlock. In almost every instance, you can trace it back to a breakdown of the family, and often to a fatherless child. Mm-hmm. And so if we could just get our families strong, well, hey, best thing to do, preach the gospel, call people to God. And so that's why we do Harvest America. That's why we have our radio broadcast, The New Beginning. We want to teach Christians how to live for the Lord, and then we want to encourage Christians to share their faith. And we're giving them a great tool on October 5th that really all the heavy lifting is done. You just need to extend the invitation and get your friend, your family member, or your neighbor, hey, even your enemy, get them to watch this and pray for them that God would bring them to himself.
Pastor Greg, you mentioned a few moments ago that as our culture has changed and historic events have come and gone, and they've changed over time, the gospel and its power and its message are timeless. Are you hopeful for America receiving the gospel message and perhaps experiencing that awakening, that renewal that you're describing?
Not everyone is, but I am, Austin. I am hopeful. What is hope? Is hope just wishing? When you wish upon a star? No. Hope, well, here's a good definition of it. Take the acronym HOPE, H-O-P-E, holding on with patient expectation. Yes, I have hope. I'm holding on with patient expectation. I'm praying that God will turn our country around. I'm praying we'll have a spiritual awakening. I'm praying that thousands, even millions of Americans will come to faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, God reaches people through people. I mean, he could just roll back the heavens and poke his face through and say, hello, Earth, I'm God and you're not. But instead, God in his wisdom chooses to use flawed people like me and those that are listening and yourself. And how will they hear without a preacher, the scripture asks? And how will they preach unless they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of those that bring glad tidings of good things? And so God has called us to take this message out. You don't have to be a theologian to do it. You just have to be obedient. Because, you know what, here's what I found. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. The calling of God is the enabling of God. If you just take a little step of faith and share your faith with someone, take a little step of faith and invite them to come to your church or your home to watch Harvest America on October 5th, you'd be amazed at how God could use you.
HarvestAmerica.com, that's the place online to get all the info. This is, dare I say, an historic event coming up October 5th. Pastor Greg Laurie presenting the message live from Dallas, Texas, and it will be webcast and broadcast and archived and downloaded literally all across the United States of America. Pastor Greg, thanks for joining us. Thank you for being willing to be used of God to convey a message of hope. We pray for you, and we look forward to talking again soon.
Austin, thanks so much for having me on the program.
In the book, Beth Moore gives 16 claims that were consistent claims from many people she interviewed who are godly people who are enticed by sin. And I want to try to squeeze these in. Okay, so the first one was they're caught off guard by a sudden onslaught of temptation or attack. It was like they did not know where it came from. If there's low places in your wall, that's where the enemy's going to get in. And so because they were hit out of nowhere. And the second is a season of overwhelming temptation and seduction often followed huge spiritual markers with God. So those who endured, who did what one of the callers did, where she went to her husband and walked in the light, these people that Beth interviewed came into a whole new place of expanded territory, of great blessing in relationship or ministry or whatever it is God had for them. But those who fell missed it and realized that God just ahead had a blessing. But so often before you take new land, you're tested. Not that God tests you, but that enemy. He sees the Calvary Mountain on the hill getting ready to come on your behalf, and he throws in an attack. Three, everyone described a mental bombardment where they were just onslaughted by seductive thoughts, temptations, insecurities, discontentment, whatever it is. And again, that's where you have it in you with the Spirit of God in you to win the battle of the mind. Number four, many of those caught in relational seductions testified that Satan got them to them through somebody close by. That's really important to know. Just to be paying attention to your personal boundaries with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with your friends. Five, many testified to early warning signals where the flare was going up in the air and they didn't want to do it. They want to listen. Casey was saying in that clip, I just justified it. Runs in the family or, ministry, whatever. 6, many described their sudden behavioral pattern as totally uncharacteristic. Like, I've never acted like that in my life. And really looking back, going, I don't know what got into me. 7, virtually all of them describe feelings and practices of isolation. And the enemy, you know, he loves isolation. He wants to isolate you, make you feel like you're alone, make you feel like nobody else relates to you, and you just get deeper and deeper into the sin. 8, without exception, deception and some level of secrecy are involved, where you're deceiving yourself, maybe deceiving others. 9, an overwhelming feeling of being powerless over the situation. And what Beth writes here is, believers are only powerless in their own strength. God has promised to provide a way of escape for every temptation. The power of seduction is indescribable, however, not inescapable, not even totally irresistible, but it is indescribable. So if you're walking through a time like that, walk in the light.
Radio Network, you'll hear her again this afternoon from 3 to 5. She's got a great episode just ahead. She'll be talking with Sky Jathani. They'll be discussing what it means to live life with God. That's today, 3 p.m. Live the Promise with Susie Larson here on the Faith Radio Network. It's now 6:55. Good morning and welcome to it. It's Friday and thank you for listening. Thank you for being here on Faith Radio. I'm Austin Hill. I'm here weekday morning 6 till 8. As you get your day started, we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful. And we also, as always, seek to connect faith to life. Today is an extraordinary day, and I mean that very literally, extraordinary. It's very unusual. There is a global prayer vigil going on all over the world, quite frankly, among Christians. Gathered, as many of us are or will be later today, we will be praying for the plight of oppressed Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And we'll also be focusing in on the plight of a Christian pastor from here in the United States named Pastor Saeed Abedini. You've heard me talk about him before, perhaps. Pastor Abedini was a staff pastor and still regarded as a staff pastor, actually, at the Calvary Chapel Church in Boise, Idaho. He is a native of Iran. He was born in Iran, but became a U.S. citizen back about 12 years ago. Spent a good bit of last decade helping to establish house churches or house-based churches in the country of Iran, and was working back in 2012 to establish an orphanage, a Christian-based orphanage for parentless children in the city of Tehran, which is the capital city, of course, of Iran. Today marks the two-year anniversary that he was officially taken into custody. He's actually been held in Iran against his will for about 27, 28 months or so, but it was 2 years ago in 2012 on this day that he was officially arrested. In January of 2013, he was put on trial. Some people would call it a show trial, but he was nonetheless convicted to serve an eight-year prison sentence in Iran. His crime, well, authorities in Iran say that he was undermining their nation's security because he was overtly talking about Jesus Christ. Such is the plight of Pastor Saeed Abedini and a lot of Christians trying to proclaim the name of Christ in other parts of the world. There are prayer vigils going on all over the world. As a matter of fact, if you get over to our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com, we've got a pretty exhaustive list of churches throughout the upper Midwestern states that are participating in this. I hope you'll get there, myfaithradio.com. Click, get the info, and participate publicly with other Christians who are assembled if you can. If you can't get to one of those locations, well, nothing holds us back from praying, right? We'll talk with a gentleman who is an elder at the Calvary Chapel Church in Boise, Idaho, a man who oversees and is well acquainted with Pastor Saeed Abedini when we come back. So stand by for that. It's now 6:58. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. SRN News on the way next.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
Good morning. It is now 7:04. Welcome to it. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill in the house every weekday morning. As you get your day started from 6 till 8 Central Time, we seek to connect faith to life. Coming up later this hour, talk about the Christian singles movement across the United States and gatherings that they're participating in over the course of the next several days, and some good news, actually, about the Christian singles movement. So stand by for that. Also, we'll talk more about the recovery movements, recovery groups meeting in churches across the country. You know, we have a talk show here on the Faith Radio Network. It airs Sunday afternoons, 5 p.m. Central Time, devoted entirely to that very issue. Our great friend George Frazier, who is a professional recovery counselor and co-host of our talk show, Real Recovery, he'll join us later this hour and weigh in on such matters as well. So stand by for that, all of that, and more just ahead here on our program on the Faith Radio Network. Today is an extraordinary day. Christians are gathering in churches all across the United States of America, but quite literally worldwide, to pray for other Christians who are living in oppression. Now, the occasion that brings this to bear, of course, is the two-year anniversary of the imprisonment, the jailing of a Christian pastor named Saeed Abedini. He is with the Calvary Chapel Church in Boise, Idaho. He has, for the last several years, actually, worked in the ministry of building house churches, home-based individual church groups, in his native of Iran. He's a U.S. citizen, so he's every bit as American as I am, and perhaps as you are as well. He became a U.S. citizen in 2002. But on this day, in 2012, he was officially arrested. In January of 2013, he was sentenced by the Iranian government to an 8-year prison term for nothing more than living out his Christian faith. This has drawn international attention. Pastor Saeed Abedini is actually caught up in the middle of a treaty negotiation between two nations very hostile to one another, at least historically, the nation of Iran and our own United States of America. What has this been like for his local community, even the church that he serves, even parishioners that know him and love him? Joining us on the guest line here on our program, a gentleman named Frank Koprivnikar. He is an elder at the Calvary Chapel Church in Boise, Idaho, knows the Abedini family very, very well, and is a neighbor of theirs. Mr. Koprivnikar, welcome to the Faith Radio Network. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me this morning, Austin.
It's a pleasure. Tell us a thumbnail sketch, or add to my own thumbnail sketch, what we need to know about Pastor Saeed Abedini and his family.
Well, they are just a beautiful family that, when they originally came back from Iran, just integrated themselves into the community and into Calvary Chapel, Boise. Nagmeh had gone to Calvary Chapel, Boise since she was a young lady with her family, mm-hmm. and had been very involved with the Young Women's College Ministry with Kathy Caldwell, who's Pastor Bob Caldwell's wife, and had felt a calling to go back to her own country. And when she'd gone back there to share her faith with her family and to just integrate a little bit into the society that she'd been taken out of when her family had left,
mm-hmm.
She met Saeed, and they became just a dynamic couple and had a wedding there in Iran that Pastor Bob Caldwell from Calvary Chapel, Boise, went and proceeded over. And when they finally, the pressure got to be too much and they came back, just integrated beautifully into the church, and I personally got to know Saeed very well, had him over at the house, and just a man after God's heart, just loved his country and loved just serving the Lord.
Frank Koprivnikar, what's interesting to me and highly informational as you describe Pastor Abedini and his wife Nagmeh, and the fact is, as I read it, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but as I understand it, the parents of both Saeed and Nagmeh, natives of Iran, they fled the government there. They came to the United States, brought their families here. I believe Nagmeh was actually born here in the U.S., but they fled the country of Iran, their native nation, after the fall of the Shah of Iran and the implementation of the Ayatollah Khomeini. And you and I were probably both very young kids when that governmental transition took place back in the late 1970s, 1979, and we remember the Iranian hostage crisis, the Ayatollah Khomeini government took over the U.S. Embassy. It was a big mess for us here in the U.S., but the respective parents of these two adults fled Iran and came to the United States for a better life. Now we have Nagmeh and Saeed Abedini, and as best as I can tell, Frank, they look at this situation and say, hey, we've got brothers and sisters and family and fellow Iranians there. They're lost. They need us. Of course we'll go and serve these people. I mean, I gave a talk yesterday and likened Pastor Saeed Abedini and his sacrificial service to the Iranians to that of the Apostle Paul and his service to the church at Corinth and the various ministries that the Apostle Paul engaged in. I mean, tell us about the sacrifice, the willingness to just say, we've got to go do this on behalf of Nagme and Saeed both.
Well, I got to tell you, Austin, it's even a more amazing story of God's transformative power. So you are correct about Nagme and her family over here. But Saeed was raised in Iran and was actually for a while a member of Hezbollah until God captured his heart. He had had a mission that he was planning on killing a Christian pastor in Tehran and then killing himself as part of what he thought his call was until a man walked into his life and said, come talk to me, a man's got something different for you. And he had a dream that night that he was supposed to go talk, and so he met this guy in a park who explained who Christ was, and Saeed recognized the fact that that's who he had had the dream about that night, and it's amazing how often this is happening in Iran and Tehran as they go through these parks. And so after Saeed himself had had this experience of who Christ was and understood his need for a Savior and what the Christian faith was about, he started going to these parks, and he would walk around in a country where if you would share Christ outside of whatever kind of churches they would allow, that you could be imprisoned. And he would walk and pray through these parks about who he was supposed to talk to. And God would direct him to who he was supposed to talk to. And on more than one occasion, he would go into these parks and people would be walking through and he would go up to them like the man came up to him and he would say, I'm supposed to tell you about Jesus. And the person would say, I prayed about or I dreamt about I was supposed to meet somebody at this park. It's just amazing, Austin, what God is doing over there. And so when he came back here because of the pressure of the home churches that he and Nagme had put together, that's when his call of his heart was to go back and continue to preach the gospel to his people. Mm-hmm. And then when the government said he wasn't allowed to do that, then his heart was, well, I just want to go serve. If the government won't let me talk about him anymore, then I'm just going to go serve. And that's when he went back to build the orphanages for the people that are under the fringes there in Iran, the poor,
right.
And to go back and just do orphanages, you know, because he was told at that point, you can't share anymore, we're not going to let you come back, and he said, that's fine. And he went back and he was working with the government to build these orphanages, and then they arrested him for things he had done years before that they said, no, we want you to come back and we need your help with these kids that don't have homes.
No. So in a sense, he was kind of set up and lured into this almost as a matter of entrapment. Am I hearing that correctly?
You know, and
that's a loaded legal term, I understand, but it almost sounds like in a pragmatic way he was lured into it.
When they went back, he went back with the government's approval. He and Nagme, and they actually took the kids back with them, and they were planning to go back there and establish orphanages and live there to serve the kids in Iran that don't have homes. And they were welcomed back by the government as long as they stayed within the parameters, which
mm-hmm.
they did when they returned back in 2000, at the end of 2011 and 2012.
Right.
And then, you know, they felt like there was some pressure coming on, and Nagme brought the kids back out. And then finally it was that point where they understood that the government was not allowing them to do the things that they had told them they were going to be able to do. So Saeed was going to come out, and then that's when they took his passport and they put him under house arrest before his trial.
Frank Kaprivnikar, he is an elder at the Calvary Chapel Church in Boise, Idaho. He's on our guest line. Aaron, stand by with the break here in just a moment. Final question for you, Frank Kaprivnikar. Describe for us just briefly what this whole ordeal has been like. Saeed Abedini is a man in your community. He's a man in your neighborhood, practically. He is a friend to you and your wife and your children. He's just Saeed. He's a guy at church for those of you at Calvary Chapel in Boise, Idaho. And yet he has been catapulted into this horrific scenario. And frankly, an item on the table, so to speak, with an international treaty negotiation. It's horrific. It's scary. It's exciting. It's messy. Tell us what that's been like.
Well, can I read you a part of a letter that he wrote from prison that I've kept? Because this is really what gives me hope for what God's doing with him in Iran. I mean, this is not happening without God letting it happen. And, you know, I appreciate our government is working so hard, but...
You know what? And Frank, I'll tell you what. I'm going to interrupt you here. I need to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll let you read an excerpt of that letter. Just stand by. We'll continue in just a moment here. This is the Faith Radio Network. It's now 7:14. And I'm Austin Hill. Stand by for more. Today is the day for a global prayer vigil on behalf of oppressed Christians around the world. We'll continue with our guest Frank Kaprivnikar in a moment. Time. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill in the house, weekday morning 6 till 8, as you get your day started, as we seek to connect faith to life. And we are fully listener-supported. We thank you for your support. Come on board. Join us at myfaithradio.com. Frank Kaprivnikar is my guest. He is an elder at the Calvary Chapel Church in, of all places, Boise, Idaho. That is the church where now very high-profile Pastor Saeed Abedini is from. That's where he's been a staff pastor. Today marks the two-year anniversary that Pastor Abedini was taken into custody by Iranian authorities. He is being held against his wishes, and I would say illegally, in an Iranian prison, serving what the Iranian government calls an eight-year term. Frank Kaprivnikar, you noted before the break there, you had some sort of letter written to you and members of your church by Pastor Abedini while in prison. Go ahead and pick up where you left off, if you would.
You bet, Austin. So this is from a letter that he wrote from prison to just everyone that was praying and supporting from him. And he says, "The word of God says that when we are persecuted for our faith, we are to count it all joy. When I think that all of these trials and persecutions are being recorded in heaven for me, my heart is filled with complete joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Without the joy of the Lord, we cannot live. It is this joy in our life that gives us strength to continue in this life. Without strength, we cannot continue the work of the Lord. And without joy, there is no strength." And when I read that letter, it reminded me of a psalm. It's 146, 5 through 7, and it just gives me such hope. And I know Nagme shares that hope because she shared that at our church over and over again. And Psalm 146, 5 through 7 says, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners." And so on his second anniversary with the vigil that happened last night in Washington that you had talked about yesterday, and with the vigils that are happening just all over the country and all over the world today,
mm-hmm.
It just, you know, we know that the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners, and that's just the prayer and the hope in, you know, who God is. And before Saeed Nagme left for Iran back in at the end of 2011 or beginning of 2012, we got together for lunch with him, and I could see that just total expectancy of what God had for him. And, you know, what was amazing was because my wife and I, talking to them, you know, were fearful of what might await him after all the things and the trials and the you know, he had been interrogated before and beaten before when he was there, and just to see the joy of the Lord as his strength as he went there, and the excitement to continue to share Christ with his people and to just be a part of what, you know, God wanted them to do in Iran with the orphanages. It's just an amazing testament to who God can be in our lives if we just give him the freedom to do that.
Frank Kaprivnikar from Calvary Chapel in Boise, Idaho. How has this story, this amazing letter that you just read from, and this couple that has chosen to allow themselves to be used for eternal purposes, Saeed and Nagme, how has this reverberated throughout your church community?
You know, it's been amazing. You wouldn't be surprised because, you know, with him being a prisoner for the Lord in Iran and Nagme having just opportunities that it's where she's been able to share the truth of who Christ is and in what's going on in Iran in front of, you know, joint sessions of Congress here in the United States, in front mm-hmm. of European Union sessions. The places that she's had the opportunity to go share has just given us all just an amazing reality check on what God can do with a single person that's willing to live a life that honors who God is. And, you know, when you think about the fact that they were just going as a family to open up orphanages, but God's plans, not the same plans that we have. And he, if we allow ourselves to be used, and this is what we've seen as a church, is it's just so encouraging to see faith in action and the results of that faith in action. And obviously, he is not in a place where he would choose to be, but, you know, having known his heart before he went, I know that he has the joy of the Lord, like he wrote in that letter, because he knows that he is where God wants him to be, and that if the good news of Christ is be able to share to one person because of the situation he's in, then he can continue to have that joy, and let alone just thousands of people in the United States and in Europe and at the United Nations where Nagme has been to share the plight of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time sharing the fact that he is imprisoned because he has a faith in Jesus Christ, and that this country, that is a crime. And how wrong is that?
Frank Kaprivnikar, final question. My understanding is that, and these prayer vigils that are going on across the United States and worldwide today are very intentionally focused on the plight of Christians suffering all over the world. Reverend Franklin Graham opened up the Thursday evening prayer service in Washington, D.C. last night. And, of course, last night in the U.S., it was morning time, Friday morning in Tehran, in Iran. But it was very clear that we're praying for all Christians who are suffering for the cause of Christ. And my understanding is that Mrs. Abedini, Nagme Abedini, that was her expressed intention. This is not just about my husband. This is about all Christians suffering for Christ. Can you elaborate on that?
I can. You know, one of the scriptures that they're really using is when one suffers, all suffer. And so I know that although, you know, her focus obviously is on her husband, that the Christ-like focus is on when one suffers, all suffer. And there are more than just Saeed in prison now for their beliefs. I mean, I know that there have been, you know, prisoners in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
There's people imprisoned in China and all over the world. I mean, we're so blessed in the United States that you and I can have this conversation on open radio.
Mm-hmm.
And not have to worry about somebody knocking down our doors, but that's not true everywhere. And so there are brothers and sisters around the world that are imprisoned because of what they believe and their willingness to say it. And so, yes, I know that Nagme's heart is that, you know, that we don't forget Saeed, but that we also understand that he is just one of many that are imprisoned for sharing their faith.
An amazing story of faith in action and enormous personal sacrifice. Frank Kaprivnikar from Calvary Chapel Church, Boise, Idaho, the home church of this very high-profile pastor, Saeed Abedini. Thanks for joining us, Frank. We look forward to speaking again.
Thanks for the opportunity, Austin.
It's 7:25. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill. We're glad you're with us. On this, the Faith Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. I'm Austin Hill. I'm here weekday mornings 6 till 8. As you get your day started, as we seek to connect faith to life. Do you realize that all this week it has been National Singles Week, National Single Adults Week, all across the United States of America? And it continues through today and through Saturday, as I understand it. Joining us to talk about what this means for Christians across the United States of America, a lady who heads up Boundless, a single adult outreach on behalf of Focus on the Family. You can find that at boundless.org. Lisa Anderson, back with us here on the Faith Radio Network. Lisa, welcome back to our program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Tell us about National Singles Week as you've been observing it and others involved with Boundless have been participating.
Yeah, well, I guess it is our week since Boundless is a single young adult ministry at Focus. I'm assuming your gift for me is in the mail, Austin, to celebrate.
Priority mail at that, actually. In fact, I've got the tracking
info.
And all of that. So I can send it to you. Honest, I can send you the tracking info if you'd like.
I just figure for all the, you know, weddings I've gone to and all the anniversaries I helped celebrate, you know, now it was kind of my turn. So
I would think
yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. exactly. So, no, yeah, it's a good time. And it's not something that we at Boundless came up with or even in the Christian community came up with. So, but it's something that we figure, hey, we appreciate this, and single adults are part of the community. In fact, now we just have seen reports come out that fully half of the U.S. population is now single. So mm-hmm. I guess we're at least almost a majority here.
Certainly on the way to becoming a slim majority at the very least. Lisa Anderson, the fact is that in American culture today, adults are forestalling marriage, or in some cases giving up on the idea of traditional marriage altogether, but certainly forestalling marriage until they reach older and older ages, well into their 30s and 40s and 50s in some cases. Tell us what that means for our culture and why Boundless exists.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and I would say, you know, that's definitely not one reason for us to be jumping on the bandwagon with National Singles Week. So we're kind of a little bit talking out of both sides of our mouth at Boundless because we want to encourage and support the singles in our midst, but at the same time, we're huge fans of marriage and family. And so what we've seen is in the last generation, two generations really, a move towards protracting one's singleness and delaying marriage. And a lot of that, Austin, is just out of fear of getting to marriage because of the examples that we've seen. But also kind of this desire and this, jumping on the bandwagon of what we've seen come everywhere from Hollywood to the feminist movement and beyond, that it is my time now, really my time forever. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And we're saying, you know, really the biblical model for most people is to eventually move towards marriage, probably sooner rather than later. And so how do we encourage single adults, you know, while they are single to maximize that season, but yet prepare for the one to come? Because if marriage is in your future, truly the time to start thinking about it is now, not when you finally meet someone that maybe you're interested in marrying and then you think, oh, how do I have to patch my life together to make this happen?
Mm-hmm. Lisa Anderson with Boundless.org. She is on the guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. This has been all week long, and it continues through today and tomorrow, National Singles Week here in the United States of America. Boundless is an outreach to single adults across the United States of America. So how does one prepare when they're living singly? How does one prepare for a future where your time is not altogether your own, your resources certainly are not either, and you do have to keep a schedule and commitments and obligations to young children perhaps and to a spouse and extended family and such. How do you go about that?
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, being a single adult still means that you're an adult. And so this idea, you know, that I think has been perpetuated that we can live kind of in this Peter Pan lifestyle is pretty bogus. So, you know, we have to all move towards maturity, whatever our marital status is, and that's biblical as well. So I always encourage singles, continue to grow. I mean, if you are not in the Word of God, if you are not plugged into a local church and accountable to it, if you're not in relationships that are causing you to, you know, look at your own life as a mirror and say, where are those areas of sin that I need to be aware of, that I need to be working on? You know, it's not, I keep telling singles, singleness is not a waiting room for marriage. You're not just sitting there waiting to grow up or waiting to become something or waiting to actually start living. You need to be living now. The second thing that singles need to do, certainly in preparation for marriage, is to actually get in real relationships. So, you know, the last thing you want to do is pitch your life to someone, commit covenant to them, and then realize that, wow, that's like the real relation, you know, the only real relationship you've ever had with someone. So get solid friendships right now, ones that you are accountable to, ones where you are dealing with conflict, where you are walking through issues of communication, of sacrifice. Even get into good, solid relationships with married couples and families, especially these younger single adults. I say, you know, you say you want to be married and have a family, and yet you're not even hanging around any families. Do you even know what a real marriage looks like, what a real family life looks like? So invite those people into your life. Get out of yourself. You know, there are many ways for us to start serving even now as singles, and we do have, to some extent, different ways of spending our time and our resources, and we have things available to us that married couples do not. So now is the time to to do a lot of mentoring, to do a lot of serving, to do a lot of missions trips, to do a lot of things that you just cannot do, and they will certainly grow you up. And then finally, singleness is no call to be selfish, and it is no time to sit back and not prepare for marriage. So admit that you want to be married. Don't be afraid to say that. If you see marriage in your future, look for ways to meet great people that might be future matches. Learn about marriage as much as you can and prepare.
Lisa Anderson, how do you recommend to single adults that they, in productive sorts of ways, celebrate, as it were, the National Singles Week? It continues through today, as I understand it. It rolls on through the weekend. What do you recommend?
Well, I think, Austin, for those who, you know, are single and desire to be married, it's a very difficult identity crisis situation. And so National Singles Week is a fun way, I think, for us to say, and we just, in fact, had our Boundless conference this summer where I was one of the speakers, and one of the things I had to remind our audience of was that God truly loves them. They are, you know, they're not, God doesn't only love married people. He doesn't say, you know, once you get your life in order and start having kids, then I can actually use you. And so to understand that God has a purpose for us at every stage of life, we are, you know, fully, I think I shared the story of Ruth, you know, who she gave up everything. She signed up for a story that was, you know, on paper terrible, to go with her bitter mother-in-law to a people that weren't her own, to sign up probably for lifetime singleness. But she trusted in the God who had a story for her that she didn't even know. And we have to realize that God loves us. He has our back. He knows what's what, and he truly does. If he has marriage in our future, he can craft that story. He's in the business of miracles. But where we are right now, to understand that we are loved, we are made in his image, we are truly, I mean, we have a role within the church, within the body of Christ, and we need to start living that out instead of sulking in the corner and thinking that we are less than or that God has left us out of the story.
Lisa Anderson with the Boundless Singles Outreach. Find her at boundless.org. Lisa also actually is a part of a talk show called Boundless, and that talk show will soon be broadcast here on the Faith Radio Network. Starting a week from tomorrow, actually, next Saturday, October 4th, you can find the time for your local radio station at our website, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Boundless, the talk show with Lisa Anderson. We look forward to hearing your voice on the program, Lisa. Getting started here very quickly.
I know. Very excited to be with your listeners on Saturdays there at Faith Radio.
Thanks so much for joining us today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the week. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you so much. 7:45, it's the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to. Glad you're here. I'm Austin Hill. It's now 7:47. Good morning, and thank you for being with us. Thank you for being a part of Faith Radio. I am Austin Hill, honored to be your host weekday morning 6 till 8, as we seek to connect faith to life, and as we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful all at the same time. Today marks the day where churches and individuals are gathering literally all over the world to pray on behalf of the plight of oppressed Christians around the world. I guess the events, the individual that has spearheaded this is, well, it's not so much the individual who made this happen, but his life story has been the impetus for us. A pastor with Calvary Chapel Church in Boise, Idaho, of all places, a guy named Saeed Abedini. Today marks the two-year anniversary of his imprisonment in Iran. And his wife, Nagme Abedini, she has asked, and she instigated this really, that there be a global prayer vigil on behalf of Saeed, yes, her husband, but also those who are imprisoned or held captive or perhaps even facing torture or death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Churches literally throughout our broadcast service series in the upper Midwestern states are participating in this. Here are just a few. And by the way, if you like this info, get over to our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com, And right there on the homepage, you'll see pop up there one of the first things that appears in the slide there on the homepage is, I would say, a pretty exhaustive list of churches throughout the Upper Midwest that are participating. But just as an example, there is, and this is not at a church, but in North Dakota, of course, if you're listening to us on our affiliates in Fargo, KFNW, Faith 1200, in Bismarck, in the capital city, you'll want to make note, there is going to be a prayer vigil on the Capitol grounds. That'll be 11 a.m. Central Time today. In Grand Forks, North Dakota, Cottonwood Community Church, they'll be going for 3 hours today from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You are obliged to drop in and participate for however long you can. Calvary Chapel Minot in North Dakota, 7 p.m. is the time that things get underway there. In South Dakota, Watertown Christian Life Assembly of God Church has an event scheduled for 6:30 p.m. this evening. And in the state of Minnesota, we've got several churches. Calvary Chapel St. Paul at the State Capitol Building in St. Paul at 6 p.m. tonight in Minnesota. There'll be a prayer vigil gathering. Literally churches all across the upper Midwestern states. Again, get to myfaithradio.com and check out the list if you would. And as I've said before, if you cannot participate in one of these formal gatherings, that's okay. We know that we can pray anytime, right? These are very, very challenging times, very difficult times, very exciting times, but very difficult times that we live in. And I believe that it is incumbent upon you and me, especially those of us who are not only Christians, but those of us who are citizens of the United States of America. Yes, I understand that oftentimes in Christian circles we emphasize the fact, we place emphasis on the fact that we are citizens of heaven for eternity. But for this time, if you're an American, well, you and I as Americans, we have a role to play in this. We can pay attention more effectively. We can better understand our nation's foreign policy. Because you need to understand, if you haven't already heard this or if you're not aware of this, the plight of Pastor Saeed Abedini is actually kind of caught up in the, I guess, the ping pong match, if you will, of the negotiation of a global treaty. Our nation, the United States of America, under the leadership of every single U.S. president since Jimmy Carter, has officially had no diplomatic ties or no dialogue, no conversation with the nation of Iran. President Carter believed that Iran was unworthy of such discussions because they were harboring terrorists and sponsoring terrorism. That was President Carter who believed that. President Ronald Reagan followed suit. President George H.W. Bush followed suit. President Bill Clinton followed suit. President George W. Bush followed suit. President Barack Obama, rightly or wrongly, and I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing, but President Obama has struck a different tone, a different stance, if you will, with the country of Iran. And the Obama administration is negotiating, we don't know all the details, they're negotiating some sort of nuclear arms treaty with the country of Iran. What's against this backdrop and in this environment that this pastor from Calvary Chapel Church here in the U.S. is being held by the Iranian government against his wishes in a prison there, a very dangerous prison at that. And so we need to understand that as citizens of this country, we have a voice if we will only exercise it. God has given us this great blessing of living in a country where it is a government of the people, and we not only have rights, but I believe a responsibility to let our voices be heard to our elected officials to say, here's the direction we believe things should go. I also believe, just as a sidebar, although it's attached to all of this, that the turmoil, the upheaval, the murderous, heinous treatment of children and women in the country of Iraq, that has been brought to bear as a result of a U.S. foreign policy that has said, let's get out of here, remove the troops, just pull out and abandon this and disengage from this region of the world almost completely. Well, yeah, rightly or wrongly, and I understand, I'm a minority view on this one. Please understand, President Barack Obama, when he withdrew troops from Iraq and said we're not at war there anymore and so forth and so on, that really is the collective will of the United States of America in many ways. Americans are tired of having our sons and daughters and nieces and nephews and husbands and wives and siblings dispatched to combat in a dangerous territory that we don't understand in the Middle East. I get that. But we see the results of what happens when no one nation, ours in particular, refuses to be the moral arbiter and step up and say, here's the right way to go. Am I saying that we need to engage in more wars? No, I'm not. But I'm saying that there are consequences to our actions and our inactions. I hope and pray that we will all begin to follow these things more carefully and to have a greater care and concern, not only for the plight of the suffering church abroad, but for the role that our nation can play in stabilizing the world if we want it to. Stand by for more. It's now 7:54. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. We're glad you're with us.
In the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Space, myfaithradio.com. By the way, just a little note here. Early this morning, at about 6:35 this morning, Pastor Greg Laurie, whose voice you hear, whose messages you hear in the New Beginning radio broadcast, which airs, of course, on all the affiliate radio stations of the Faith Radio Network. Pastor Greg Laurie was my guest earlier this morning. And he's gearing up, and this is primarily what we discussed, he's gearing up for a big event coming up on October 5th called Harvest America. Now, Pastor Greg has been for 25 years now, the last quarter of a century, been conducting these large-scale evangelistic outreach events called Harvest Crusades. They typically happen in large sporting arenas around the country. And I think I was at the very first one back in 1990 at what is now known as, what are they calling it these days? I haven't kept, I'm a native Southern California, grew up right near and I'm dating myself when I say this, we used to call it Anaheim Stadium in Anaheim, California. And it's gone through a whole bunch of different incarnations now. It is nonetheless a large sporting arena in Anaheim, California, where the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim baseball team play. But anyway, Pastor Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusades will fill that place for several nights in a row and has done so pretty consistently for a quarter century. Well, that's what the Harvest Crusades have been about, and they've happened all across the United States of America and in other parts of the world. Today, we're gearing up for what is being called Harvest America. And as best as I can tell, I've not had anybody say this precisely who's researched this, but just as I survey this, I don't know that we've ever seen a Christian evangelistic outreach event where there is so much groundwork that has been laid for so much impact, not only right there, real time, in the moment, but afterwards. Never before have we seen the presentation of the Christian gospel that will be telecast and broadcast by radio and live web streamed and streamed to mobile telephones and transmitted vis-a-vis Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and any of a number of other social media outlets. And never before will we have seen an event like this that will be available after the fact via audio and video download, on-demand format, downloadable format. I mean, this is really an extraordinary event, dare I say, a very historic one. We will be broadcasting the Harvest America events on our Twin Cities broadcast affiliate, Faith Radio 900. It will also be streaming at myfaithradio.com. So get to our website and be prepared for this. October 5th, live from the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas, Harvest America. I'm Austin Hill. See you next Monday. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. For more information about this, you can visit Austin Hill in the Morning, our program page, on myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.